I don't know about you, but I've been praying for increase, increase, increase. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've been praying for increase. I've been praying for the increase, the Safe House Church. Increase our understanding. Increase our understanding and our knowing of him to increase us, to make us better than we were before, to bring us into the new space, to bring us into where he has with us to go. I've been asking God for increase in our understanding, increase in our loyalty towards him, increase in what he would have us to do, increase in what he would have us to go and what he would have us to say. Amen. I've been asking for increase, 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 just not for me, not just for you, but increase what in our capacity to serve him. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Most High God, that I am so honored and so blessed to be here before you again on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, because we could have been anywhere else. There are some who are not here with us this morning. You could have been in the grave. You could have been in the drunk house. You could have been in the hospital. You could have been bound up, but God is so good, and his mercy endure forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just so grateful to be here in this space now, as we have just got on the social media, amen, that we're turning those on now, amen. God is good and he's worthy to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. He's just so worthy to be praised. I'm just so excited and elated to be here before God's people one more time on this morning. Amen. As you have probably noticed by now, those who've gotten on Facebook and social media, we've changed our format a little bit, in the sense that we've been getting censored and been having some problems with trying to worship online because of the music situation. You know, everybody wants a dollar now. But so now our worship experience is just going to be private to our Zoom page. Amen. So therefore, if you have our Zoom link, it's out there. Feel free to click in and come on in. We have enough. We can hold 400 or 500 people. So it doesn't matter. Amen. No cameras are on. No volume or mic is on but mine. Amen. So if you feel free to come to that space. I hate that we have to do that. But this is the time that we're in. When you don't own your platform, when you don't own your own stuff, then you are at the mercy of those who own it. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why we teach here at the Safe House Church. We teach in ownership. Somebody type in the chat, ownership. Because see, when you own your own platform, you can do whatever you want to do. Amen. So therefore, we own the space that we have there on Zoom. Amen. So we can do what we want to do on there. So God wants us to be owners. Amen. He said, what? You be the lender and not the borrower. Meaning that what I lend to you, and therefore I don't borrow. Because what? The Bible also says that the borrower is what? In debt to the lender. The borrower is in debt to the lender. Amen. So therefore what? Then that means you might do some things and you might compromise yourself in some ways. Amen. That you normally may not have compromised yourself in. But because you don't own, because you owe, then you find yourself a slave to jobs. Amen. Oh, come on. I can be a witness. I sometimes end up being a slave to my job. Why? Because I need this, because I don't have certain things. But I know it's God's desire. It was never God's plan for us to be have to go out there and do that. Do y'all not know that? It was never his plan, but because we thought we knew better than him by eating of that tree of good and evil, then it revealed things. And part of that punishment. Do y'all not know the work is really a punishment? Think about it. Now, remember in the Bible says that what? We didn't have to work. Everything was given to us. All we had to do was worship God. That's all we were required to do. It was one thing we were told not to do. Not to eat of that tree of good and evil. That's all Adam and Eve were told to do. And everything was catered to them. Everything. Yeah, I think about it. I see that Adam, I'm going to give him an old good knuckle sandwich. Amen. Because everything, we wouldn't have to work. Women wouldn't have to have pain in childbirth. Everything just be lovely. Lovely. This is why it's called heaven. Amen. But, you know, because of the fall of man, then what? Work became punishment. And he told man that what? If you don't work, you don't eat. So therefore, we find ourselves working in the spaces that, you know, the things that we have to do. Amen. And I get it. You know, so now this is part of what we have to do to survive, and we do what we got to do in this space. So I'm just so grateful. Thank all of you all. I think the morning prayers have just been wonderful. It's 100% volunteer space, but you all have been showing up just like we have in church. And that tells me something. That tells me that God's people are hungry. God's people are hungry. They want to see change. I mean, we're going at 6 o'clock, and I know getting up 6 o'clock in the morning is a push for some people. You know, some of you may be up, or some of you may be going, preparing for work or whatever the case may be, but you're tuning in. And that tells me that you're, you know, like I said, as a pastor, it says, you know, the people are hungry, God, and we just gonna continue in that space. And there's some things changing, and you know, we've been praying for healing for individuals, and we had, you know, some setbacks, amen. And we had a sister transition this week. Cause see, when you're a believer, you don't lose folks. Oh, come on, somebody. When you are a believer, you don't lose folks. I think I heard Pastor Michael Kelly say it like this, and it was so true. And he said that my father-in-law's funeral almost 10 years ago, he said that when you lose something, that means you don't know where it's at. And I've always remembered that. I thought that was an excellent point that he brought up. He said, when you lose something, that means you don't know where it's at. You know, oftentimes when people pass on, we say we lost them. Mm-hmm. Well, that is true if you don't know where they went. But when you know you have people, you know, that were believers like Sister Lynn, who dedicated her life to the Lord, amen, and knew the Lord, and we just believe that she's, you know, asleep, amen, and it's waiting for us. And those who don't know that Sister Lynn lost her battle with cancer, amen, at the age, I think, 32 years old, such a young woman, amen. And, you know, you question God, and I asked God so many questions myself. And, you know, when the request came through to pray for her, I felt it right away. I knew this wasn't going to be good, you know. And I think people sometimes, when you're a gifted person, when God is giving you gifts, and I ain't getting spooky here, but those who, you know, you at the Safe House Church, you know, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, amen. And God has given me a gift, you know, discernment. And I could just, and soon as, you know, we pray for, I could feel it. So I stayed another 30 minutes with just begging and pleading God. And my wife, I tell you, when she came in and told me the other afternoon, you know, that we had prayed for that morning, then my wife came in, we prayed for her again around noontime, and we just kept fleecing God and, you know, asking God, you know, be like Hezekiah, Lord, give her 10, 15 more years, Lord, not now, Lord, so much work that's being done and so much goodness and so many people are being blessed by this young lady, Lord, why now? And God didn't see it to be so. Amen. You know, his will is sovereign, but above all, we pray for his will, because at the end of the day, we all want what? His perfect will for our lives. And I don't know if that was God's perfect will, his permissive will. That's not any of my business. I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. But nonetheless, we know we did not lose her. She just merely transitioned to sleep. So I ask that we all hold into that. We ask that you continue to pray for them and pray for Brother Ezra, her father. You know, he is, you know, he's his only child, amen, and his girl and his wife, Deborah. But, you know, something about, you know, if you're a dad and you got a little girl, it's something about dad and girls. And I know I have one, and, you know, your girls are your girls. And, you know, and I know he loved his daughter, and I know his wife, you know, and just continue to pray for them. And we want to be a blessing to them here at the Safe House Church. And I trust that our congregation will allow me to use my own discretion to do something for them. You know, we have been a blessing to her girls group. She was ministering to young women. And I know when we was really, really young ministry, I think within our first year, God blessed us. And we financially, I think, gave her $400 or $500 to go help them girls. Amen. See, it ain't about the size, but God looks at what? He looks at the heart. Amen. You know, think about David. David was a little man, but God knew David's heart. You know, even when we had 2, 3, 4, 5 members, we were already blessing people. Oh, come on, somebody, because this is not a money hungry church. Well, if we get, we give it right back out, because it's what? To be redistributed to God's people. Oh, come on, somebody. I know everybody want to hear that, but it's to be redistributed to God's people. He said, bring in what? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? So that there'll be meat in my house. And now that meat, what, that meat is not just to be sitting in the house to go and spoil. I'm already preaching. You know, that meat is not to be in the house to spoil, but what? To be redistributed. Mm-hmm. So God has given us that. And I know you all trust me to redistribute that. And like I said, we're going to be a blessing to them and Sister Lynn's wake and do that. And arrangements will be coming forward. So you just reach out to us and we'll let you all know that as soon as we know. You know, I always call her my little mentee. She was my little mentee. Amen. Continue to pray for Brother Ezra. I understand he had a little setback. Baby Ezra, we're talking about now. But God is able. He's still with us. Amen. We're praying for his full development. He was born a couple of weeks early, premature, but he's going to be all right, I do believe. And we're just going to keep praying and fasting towards that. Amen. So I hope that you all are enjoying the 6 a.m. prayers. Like I say, Zoom, they on Zoom only, so we're not out there. Just Zoom, the same way you got on Zoom today. If you're on the Zoom, you can get in on prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And we're fleecing God together. All right. So I think I'm done with way announcements. For those who may that be the first time here visiting the Safe House Church, my name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I serve as the pastor at the Safe House Church, where God has just been so good to us. And we just grateful that he's been this good. We work on three pillars here at the Safe House Church. That's discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We're going to teach you God's word. We're going to empower you. And then what? We're going to hold you accountable. And we use the, you know, when we go into God's word, we use this framework of content. So the content is what? The word of God. We believe the word of God to be an infallible word of God. Then we give context. The context, that's what I bring. You know, it's like color commentary. I bring these things and teach you these things and give you setting, place, and understanding. And then, by the way, it's the Spirit that gives the revelation. It's the Spirit that gives the revelation. This is why it's essential that we have the Holy Ghost. Why? So that way it can teach us. It can guide us. That I can go ahead and I can teach and preach and give you all these things till I'm blue in the face. Amen. But it's only through what? Through Him that you're able to what, get the understanding of what it is for the Spirit needs for you. Amen? Amen. So now that we got all these preliminaries out of the way, amen, let's go into what I believe God has given us to share with you on this morning. So on last week, we were talking from the place of the inside man. Remember this whole month of March, we've been talking about the governmental structures, and we've been purposely and strategic in going after governmental structures. We know it's in our government that, you know, that has the rule over the people, and God wants God's people in government. He strategically places us in government. He strategically places us in situations so that what? We can go in there and be a source of godliness. Not that we turn and do the same thing that they do, but it's a source of godliness. Amen. So I find myself in places that I didn't never think I would be. You find yourself in places, you know, the Safe House Church here, we have a church full of leaders. When I look at our list and our role and I look at the people who are listed here, I don't see anybody but leaders. Amen. People that God has put into leadership positions. Many of you are principals. Many of you are head teachers. Many of you are head administrators and supervisors and have rule over people. And it's good that God has what, put godly people in place. Oh, come on, somebody. I kid you not. I look at, you know, I know many of you, the things that many of you do as jobs, many of you are teachers. That's a what? That's a form of leadership. So God has put many of you what? In places of great influence. And because you're in a place of great influence, it's a imperative that you have the right spirit. It is imperative that we're able to go and speak on the things of God. It's imperative that we walk in with a spirit of excellence. It's a spirit of excellence. Why? Because this spirit, what, it comes down from above, and we're able to what? To influence others. You don't have to say anything. People watch what you do. I tell people all the time, I'm tired of hearing what people talk about. I want to see what you do. I want to see, and this is why, you know, I'm so excited about, like I said, on each and every morning that so many of you are there in prayer, because, you know, like I said, I hear people say, yeah, Pastor, I'm going to do this, or yeah, brother, I'm going to do that. But a lot of people don't put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, or where we used to say the country where the rubber meets the road. They don't do that part. But that's not the Safe House Church. Amen. I'm just so grateful that we have people like that. This is why you are leaders. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why you are leaders. This is why you get the stresses that you get. I know you said, well, I don't like the stress. The only reason you got it is because you can handle it. I don't know where I'm going with this morning, but it seemed like God taking me a different way. That means that you can handle it. I know many of us have gotten to a point in time and it seems like we're just so stressed and things are just bearing us down. But God has you in that place, in that time, so that you can learn some things for the next level. I've not yet to been through a thing, yet to go through a situation, yet to find myself in a circumstance that God did not somehow turn around in my favor. Oh, come on, somebody. That he took and he reversed it. And it seemed like I was in this, and it was like, Lord, I'm just here and I'm just pulling in my thumbs, but he has set me up for greatness. See, I'm reminded that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the north or the south, but that promotion comes from God. Oh, come on. Can I get an amen in the chat room? Amen. See, promotion comes from God. So many times we are promoting ourselves and we're going and we're doing these things. And I suggest, yes, you got to apply to get the job. Yes, you got to do this, but know that at the end of the day, that what is God that opens up the door. And if that door is closed, we are praying for what? That his perfect will be done and not just his permissive will. See, there's some things that God allows us to do, but then we want to walk what? In his perfect will. Because if I'm walking in his perfect will, then that means that he's obligated to see me through. Oh, yeah. See, he's obligated to see me through. Why? Because the Bible tells me that his promises are yea And amen. We're talking about the inside man, the inside man part two. So what we find here is we was going from last week that we had Moses, and Moses was an inside man. Moses grew up on the outside. Moses was of Hebrew descent. He was an Israelite, but yet he was taken in by what? Pharaoh's daughter. See, Pharaoh's daughter did not have a child of her own. And since she didn't have a child of her own, what she did is she took him in and raised him as her own. See, Moses was a leader from day one. See, most leaders come from the outside. Why? Because you have an outside perspective. You're not of that kingdom, so you see things a little differently. See, it's not strange that you don't see things the way everybody else sees them. Why? Because God is giving you an outside perspective with an inside voice. Oh, come on, somebody. See, you are outside perspective. Perspective with an inside voice. This is why you often find yourself in places where it seems like you're the only one, when it seems like things don't match. I know, I get it. I often find myself reaching out to try to find one that's like me and find another that's like me. And what I find to my chagrin sometimes that it ain't nobody out there like me. I can't connect with this one because this is going on. And I can't connect with that one because the spirit ain't right. And I can't connect with this. So now I find myself in a place of loneliness. And I get to that point that I almost feel like the prophet Samuel, I believe it was, they were saying that, Lord, am I the only one? And then he had to remind himself, boy, I got 7,000 over here who haven't bowed to Baal, amen. They have not taken a bow to Baal. They have not given up. They have not thrown in the towel. They have not said that, you know, that's not got to the point that they just they ran away from this. But I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, as leaders in this space, and I know I'm talking to leaders this morning, that God has strategically placed us. I know you get lonely being a trailblazer. I know you get tired of getting the cobwebs in your face. I know you get tired of getting slapped with the limbs, amen. But God has positioned you as such that you can handle it. There's no point. Not accident that we've been spending so much time in the book of Ephesians where he's telling you to put on the helmet of salvation because he's going to keep you safe. That put on that breastplate of righteousness because he's going to protect your heart. Take the sword of the spirit because the Bible is a two-edged sword that you can be able to speak the word and give life and you can kill those things that need to be killed in the workplace. Why? Because you are the leader without being the leader. You don't have to have the label of being the leader, but we know by anointing how God. For the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. And see, when you go into the places and the houses and you compel them to come, that people are automatically attracted to you. It's something about you. They can't put their hand on you. They don't know what it is. It's just something about you. I got to bless you. It's something about you. I got to be a part of this space. It's something about you that I want to connect. It's something about you that I want to be up under you. And people see you. And then you wonder and say, but Lord, I feel so disconnected, oh God. I don't feel like nobody like me in this space, oh God. I feel like nobody understands what I'm going through, oh God. Why do I feel so lonely, Lord Jesus? In the middle of all the people, oh God, because you're in Egypt, brothers and sisters, amen. And God has strategically placed you as an inside voice so that he can speak to Pharaoh through you. Oh, come on, somebody. The mission is yours if you choose to accept it. I'm here to tell you today that what? That he can expand and enlarge your territory if you're willing to listen to him. That the goods of Egypt belong to you if you're willing to listen to him. That the good of the land belongs to you if you're willing to listen to him. But there's an inside job that needs to be done. Huh? There's an inside job that he's using you for. Hey, man. Huh? There's an inside job that he's pulling you and I into. They say that if you were just seek my face, and if you wouldn't eat the king's meat, amen, and if you would trust me in this place, I know it looks bad on me. I know that they accused you of this, and in some aspects you did that, and you found yourself in this, but I'm here to tell you today that I have you strategically placed inside for such a day and time as this. And when the day came that Moses got to a point that he had to be out on exile, why? Because he was worried about himself. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you and I, we take ourselves from the space. Come on, somebody. God ain't take you from it. You took yourself from it. You the one quit. You the one walked away. You the one that threw in the towel what God was trying to do. But then even then, the Bible said God takes all things and what? He work them in our favor for the good of them who that love the Lord. He know you love them. So now what? Maybe you're not in his perfect will, but you're still in the permissive will. Amen. But you're still in the will of God nonetheless. So now he allows Moses to go out there. And what? Moses sees a burning bush. And there's a bush that's being burned but not consumed. See, the problem is, see, some of you ain't being burning no more. Hallelujah. That when you got the Holy Ghost, when God filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that thing was burning down inside of you. You had so much zeal for God. You wanted to go around the neighborhood and tell everybody what they had to do to be saved. say. You wanted to go around and put hands on everybody and tell them that they had to come ye out. You wanted to get back and baptize the whole neighborhood. But what happened to that zeal? What happened to that burn? What happened to that desire to see others saved? Come on, somebody. I'm saying, church, we got to get back to being church. Amen. I mean, the pandemic's almost over. Amen. God has protected us. He's kept us through the space. You got your shot. I got my shot. Let's go forward in the name of Jesus. Let's continue to pray in the morning. Hallelujah. Because God is what? Building us up as a church and getting us ready for the harvest. The Bible said that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So I'm asking you today, are you fueled up this morning? Are you ready to go forward this morning? Are you ready to go forward and go out to the streets and the highways and compel them to come, because he's made you the inside man. Woo! So this is why Moses sees the burning bush, because the bush is representative of God's burning desire inside of Moses. I don't know about you, but how many of you have a burning desire just to help somebody? How many of you know that's in your spirit, that no matter what I want to do, no matter where I want to go, no matter what I want to say, that God keeps bringing me back to this thing? See, I can talk about me. See, I've been trying to sometimes. I want to go to a WPI. I want to work at this kind of school. I want to do these kind of things, but God won't let me leave that HBCU space. Oh, come on, somebody. Because what? That's what I'm called to, and I'm getting it. And then, so what, sometimes that means I might have to leave for a little while and get this and get that, but trust me that God is bringing that thing all the way back around, and I'm coming right back to that space. Why? This is what he did to Moses. Well, he allowed Moses to leave for a season. Woo! Moses left for a season. And what Moses did when he left for that season? He went and he got prepared. Moses got a wife. Moses got a family. Moses was out there, and then what? That burning desire. How many of you know you got that desire inside of you this morning? Somebody type in the chat, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning. Because look, that burning desire, you see, that thing in you that won't let you sleep at night, that thing that energizes you, that thing that gets you up in the morning, that thing that pumps you up, that thing that takes you to the next level, that thing that you're so passionate about, that thing you just can't talk enough about, that thing you didn't got on everybody's nerves about. Oh, come on, somebody. That's that burning bush inside of you. And when Moses saw that burning bush, he said, the bush is burning, but it's yet not consumed. And I'm here to tell you today that we have a burning desire inside of us, because it's that fire that we need to take that fire and light somebody else's fire. Y'all heard me give you the example of the candle before. What the thing is about a candle, when somebody else takes their candle and they light somebody else's candle, you share your flame. But when you share your flame doesn't get any smaller. Woo! Come on, somebody. See, when you share your flame, it don't get smaller. See, I know it's an anomaly. I know it don't make sense. I know you don't understand it. But I'm here to tell you today that you can share what you got and you're not losing. See, the world has taught us that if I share what I have, if I give somebody else what I got, then that means I have less of it. But you talking about, we prayed this morning, said, Lord, enlarge my territory. Lord, make me better. Lord, give me increase. But God can't increase you until you move some of the stuff out. Because what? That burning desire that's inside of us is that bush that is burning but not consumed. So therefore, you and I are what? We are always on fire. We're that bush burner. That's what's different about us, is that we on fire. We on fire. We on fire with optimism. We on fire with inspiration. We on fire with God's love. We on fire even when it's bad. What I'm saying is good. Even when it looks bad, I'm telling you that it's going to be good. Even when it seems like they're throwing the towel, I'm telling you, nope, don't quit now. That keep on striving. Keep on pushing. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep going forward. I'm here to tell you that weeping may endure for a night, but that is this joy that comes in the morning. Come on. Is somebody in here with me this morning? Say hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah. So what, that burning that you and I, so Moses comes back to what, Egypt, as they went, that burning bush. Moses was on fire for God when he came back, and he told Pharaoh what, let my people go. And now we find that we spent on last, we went through the first five of the plagues, and we found out that with these different things, and each one God is getting more progressive with what he's doing, and each one he was getting more progressive in this place, and each one something else was happening. We found that most of these things were what, working towards transformation. Somebody say transformation. Transformation is the ability to change over time. Sometimes things are instantaneously, some things what, transform. Some things take a little while. Some things, you know, they go in a progression. Amen. And here we go this morning as we look forward to what God is saying here. Let's go back over what we went over last week. Let me calm it down a little bit. I didn't mean to get excited on y'all this morning, but I'm telling you, this is what happened when y'all start praying and the saints get together and we start praying. Yeah, that's right.
When we start getting praying, my anointing gets fired up. See, when I see God's people want more, then what happens is they pull on me. And when they pull on me, then that allows me to say, God, I need you to increase me, Lord, because I gave away all that I had, Lord. So then he downloads to me, and then you pull a little bit more, and then you download to me, and then you pull a little bit more, and then that which you're pulling from me, then that means you're supposed to be giving it to somebody else. Oh, see, this is how this thing works. We're just conduits of his power. We're just conduits of his love. We're just conduits of his resources. We're just conduits of this. This, I don't own it. You don't own it. All we do is a pass through. But when you pass through, you have no help is but to be blessed. They tell me that the ark stayed in Obadiah's house for 90 days. And for 90 days, Obadiah's house was off the chain. Obadiah didn't want for nothing. Everything was there. Everything he needed. Then some. Why? Because the ark of the covenant was there in his house. And I'm here to tell you today, if that ark lives inside of you, which is his spirit, if that bush is burning inside of you and it's burning and it's burning and it's not consumed, that what God is what allowing stuff to come to us, to what, so we can pass it on to somebody else and we get blessed in the midst of it. I tell you all, we ain't nothing but a Holy Ghost bank. Remember, the bank don't have any money. The bank's money is what? Your money. But the bank gets its money because what, they charge you fees on your money. So therefore, the bank doesn't have any money. What they do is what, they just get a little piece of your money for protecting your money. And all they trying to do is what, grow that money. Oh, come on, somebody. So then what we find is what? That's how we are. That in that we're holding this for God. And then what? We are to partake it to others. You don't have to get up there. You don't have to preach on Sunday morning. You can take somebody out to dinner and have a conversation. You can be praying for somebody in their home. You can help somebody out in the street. Whatever God leads you to, it's time for us, church, to get up, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Hallelujah. 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 So as we go in here this morning, hallelujah, y'all, I'm trying to calm down. But, you know, when that thing is burning, you can't get it out. Hallelujah. In the old church, we used to say, I got to praise, I got to praise. And it's just like a fire assignment. I got to get it out. I got to praise. I don't know about you all, but if we was in the old school church this morning, we'd be in there. We'd be getting it right now. But hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go into the second. So the first five plagues of Egypt here. So the first five that he went through here, we had the blood. We talked about the blood. That was a transformation on the blood. The transformation is what? The blood was, that I have it here, yes, blood was what? Grace. So we know blood, the blood of Jesus is our grace. So the grace, well, he was giving him grace and say, hey, let these people go. Then the next time, the transformation, what? The frog, I'm coming to you in peace. Hey, I'm told you one time, let them go. Then they go, what? The gnats and the lice, what? He comes to you, what? In the form of rebirth. All right, now I done told you, let them go. Then he goes to the flies. The flies, what? Transformation or what? Motivation to achieve and wealth. He said, okay, I'm about to start attacking your wealth with these flies. About to let them go. Then we find ourselves, what, down to five, when he is starting to attack the livestock. He's starting to go off that social economic stuff and their social culture. And what, you know, we know that the livestock brings what, fertility. And he was starting to attack that. Hallelujah. Now let me calm down and get in treach mode here, because I want to make sure that you get this, because I can holler and scream. We can get excited, but you walk away from here and you don't know anything. I failed. Oh, I like to have church with the best of them. I do. But my job first is to make sure you walk away with something that you can chew on all week. Because people are hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me switch it up. Let me see if I can get my next verses here. All right. Did I get that up yet? Okay. Let me pull that one down. I got all these things up here. Come on. All right. Okay. Yeah, we good now. All right. All right, is that good? Yes. Okay. All right, so now let's talk about where we are this week. Oh, no, that's the first five. Okay, all right, let me switch it. Yes, there we go. All right, so let's talk about these. So let's talk about the bull. So now Moses finds him in himself that they're bringing in bulls. We are in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. I'm not going to read them all. Exodus 9, verses 8 through 12. So now what, they're bringing in the bulls. So now what Moses is doing. So God is using Moses. And he's trying to get what, Pharaoh to let these people go. And Pharaoh's hardening his heart. So every time he's just changing in, he's upping the intensity a little bit. He's upping the intensity. So now here we are. It's getting a little bit more intense this morning. So here's what, the bulls. Let's talk about the bulls. What are the bulls? The Bible says this. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is Exodus 9, 8 through 12.
and says, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out and men and animals throughout the land. So what do we find boils? Boils are little what? Spaces of infection. Now, I find it interesting that when he takes the boil, I mean, he takes the furnace, he uses the ashes from the furnace to do this. He throws them in the air. So what, things are passed through the air. So boils are what? The festering boils break out in what? The Egyptians and the animals, and Pharaoh does not let them go. So what does the boils represent? The boils represent pandemic. Now you have something that affects the whole nation, and it's where? In the air. See, we've been in this pandemic here for a little bit, right at a year now. And for a while, we didn't know how this thing was passed, and we was working through this and trying to get through this. And now we find that what? All of a sudden that this thing has been here with us all along, and it's always been in the air. You have to be careful in the spaces that you're in, because sometimes the thing that's bothering you the most is not necessarily you. It's in the air. The Bible says it like this, that the devil is what? He is the prince of the air. That's not just airways. He uses his modes of communication. He uses the things that he has at his disposal. Even though they may be limited, he's masterful at what he does have access to. So it's in the air that we find these things. So now what? They get infections. And then he takes what? The ashes from that. The ashes. Why is the ashes important? Because when they found themselves in a time of mourning, they would sit in what they call ashes and sackcloth. The sackcloth, why? Because the sackcloth would itch you. Sackcloth, think about a burlap sack. If you think about burlap, if you put burlap against your bare skin, in most cases, it irritates you and it will cause you to itch. So as a form of sacrifice to themselves, of self-sacrifice without killing themselves, what they would do is what they would get into a sackcloth, meaning that they had clothes that were made out of that cloth, burlap, and they would put it. So they would basically naked and put that on there. So you know their body was itching. But this is them to say, Lord, I am willing to endure being uncomfortable until I hear from you. So what, they get in sackcloth and ashes. They would sit in ashes. Ashes what? Ashes are what? The leftover part. Ashes are the burnt part. Ashes are what's remaining. Lord, I am willing to sit in what remains until I hear from you. Come on, somebody catch that. I am willing to sit in what remains until I hear from you. So what they're saying is when they sit in sackcloth and ashes, that I'm willing to hear what, I'm willing to sit in what I got until you turn it around. So in this sackcloth and ashes, does he sit and they have what, boils? And now that's what, infection throughout the land. Infection, what, things that don't belong. See, some of us have been affected because we don't belong there. You know you don't belong, but you're saying to yourself, well, these are the only friends I got. And they don't even want you there because you cramp their style. They know you don't belong there. They tolerate you because you might be supplying some things. They deal with you because, you know, because they feel like they kind of have to, but they truly don't want you there. Why are you going somewhere you don't want it? See, I don't know. I had a hard time with that myself for a long time. I was like, but Lord, I just, you know, and all of a sudden I got to say, why am I beating my head on the wall? The Bible says this, that you give it to them, and if they don't hear you, knock the dust from your feet and go on somewhere else. Stop wasting your time, brothers and sisters. Some of us have just spent so much time wasting our time. God has called us to be the inside man. We're going to change and transform government. We're going to change and transform our communities and our areas and these things. But how do we do it? Go where you're wanted. Stop trying to change this one because this is what you want to do. Been there, done that, got two or three of the t-shirts because I kept going back. So stop trying to get in that space that what I want you to change. Yes, I get it. But hey, maybe that's not God's will at this time. So go where you want it. You'll be more effective in this space. And then what, you'll be transformed. And then it don't mean that God won't take that and use it to do this. Are you seeing what I'm saying to you this morning? So what I go in there and say, that's why I don't beat people to come to Bible study. I'm not going to beat people to go to prayer. If you want to be there, you'll be there. If you want a doctor and you need to be healed, you'll go to the doctor. And if you're not sick enough, then you won't go. So this is why the Bible tells us what he said. We just got to put it out there. Hey, the hospital is open. Hey, the safe house is open. And come whoever will, because I don't control who come and go, because I don't give the increase anyway. I don't have the power anyway. He has the power. He gives the increase. All I am is to do is what? To open the door. That's all he ever required of us to do. See, this thing is about personal responsibility. You got to decide for yourself. I can scare you. I can preach hell and brimstone and damnation. And all those things would be true if you don't get it together. I had a very, very good friend of mine this week pass and go on to be the Lord. And you know, and what hurt my heart is the most is that I know he won't a believer. And he won't try to believe unless he got it right since the last time I met him. And he was pretty blatant about it. And I spent day after day, every time I saw him, I know I almost got on his nerves. He probably didn't want to always be my friend no more. But I was doing it out of my sincere love and my zeal. And that, but God had to give me some wisdom. People have to want this thing for themselves, Peter. You cannot make people want to live right. You cannot make people want to live safe. If they don't want it for themselves, you cannot want it worse than they do. And sometimes as believers, this is where we find ourselves getting into trouble. Why? Because we want it worse than they do. We want it for them worse than they want it. And it's never going to work like that. So what happens is you find yourself frustrated. What is frustration? Unmet expectation. Because your expectation is that, Lord, I'm praying and Lord, I'm fasting now, and I want my son and my daughter to be saved. Lord, I want my son to be married. Or I want my daughter to be married. Or Lord, I want my relatives to act right. Lord, I want them. And you forcing the issue? And they ain't hearing you. Wasting of your time. Use some wisdom and back away. Don't be overbearing. Because what? Now you're becoming an infection. Infection. So let's go on. So the next part is, so now while this infection has come, what does the infection does? Infection, because this boil is an infection, what does it do? It weakens their immunity. It weakens your immune system. So when your immune system is weak because you've been infected, you're vulnerable to attack. Are y'all with me? You're more vulnerable to attack. So your immune system is weak. So now what? It ain't just COVID that's killing people. It's people who have weak immune systems. We know this now, right? Because we have enough documented evidence now to say, okay, a number of people, okay, but if they have pretty decent immune systems, a number of them, even though they got really sick, but they recovered. But if there was some weakness in their defenses, come on, somebody. This is why we pray. This is why we fast. This is why we go forward. Because I don't want any weakness in my defenses. You don't want any weakness in your defenses. So if infection comes or something comes to throw you off, that you can fight it off right away. See, I prayed for Kirk Franklin this week. Why? Because I know this is nothing but an infection. The man has an incredible gift. He's come a long way. And I heard the wisdom in his voice even when he spoke this week. And I know some in the church who's damning him. Really are. However, that's not what God told him. He said, if you can restore such a one, that's what you do. So you can go ahead and put him in damnation all you want. Come on, brother. Let's go to the next level. Because I have yet to see anybody in that glass house throw some rocks. Like they didn't say choice words. I'm not justifying it. But I'm telling you that we serve a God of grace and mercy. And if the light be put on you, what will we really see? So, immunity. We can't let our immune systems get weak. And what is our immune system spiritually? Is that we have to pray. So just on last week, we were talking about praying in the spirit. And what does praying in the spirit do? Praying in the spirit builds you up. It ain't for me. If you over there speaking in tongues, I don't know what you're saying. That's why I tell people, and I instruct our people, when you praying for people, don't pray in tongues. And it took me a long time to get there because I came from the Holiness Church. We always pray in tongues. Bah, 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 you want spiritual, you won't do it if you didn't do it. And then I got some sense about it. I was like, oh Lord, forgive me for my ignorance. Because the person I'm praying for, what I'm doing is I'm activating their faith. Along with mine, and their faith with my faith is going to touch heaven because they believe and I'm believing with them. So therefore they need to hear what I am proclaiming so that there's an agreement here on earth. And he said, whatever be on earth, it shall be where? In heaven. Oh, come on. I'm talking good this morning, am I? You see what I'm saying? So when I'm praying, yes, I encourage you, especially in your personal prayer time, go for it. Why? Because it builds you up. We talked about that in Bible study. It gives you what? A boldness to proclaim. Why am I able to proclaim? Y'all heard us in worship this morning. I was going in. Why? Because I'm built up so I can proclaim. Because when you build up in the Holy Ghost, you're able to proclaim boldly. All right, let's go on. Hail. Hail, hail, hail. So the next thing was hail. Hail. Hail happened. Exodus 9, 13 through 35. I'm not going to read all that. But what happens is what? There's a hailstorm, and the hail comes down. And what is the thing about hail? If you know anything about hail, a couple of things. Number one, hail destroys. Hail will tear up some stuff. Leave your car outside in a hailstorm, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be probably pretty dingy if it's big pieces of hail. I think the biggest hail, I almost saw baseball hail one time, and that was huge. So you imagine a baseball, that thing falling from the sky, it can literally kill somebody. Now, how is hail transforming in the scientific world? They tell us, and I know Sister Shirella, get me right if I'm not right, and I know I got a couple other scientists there, Sister Joy and Sister Taylor, but y'all get me later if I'm not right. But from my understanding, it's a water droplet, and what happens is it's light, and then it gets blowed up, and then it gets more water, and it goes down, and then it blows up, and it gets more, and it keeps doing this process until some point the ball becomes heavy enough that it's going to fall down. And then that's what we call hail, okay? And what we find here, that is what? It's a destroyer. So here, when Moses does the hail, it destroys crops. It destroys the crops. So the hail falls down and everything in the fields and destroys all the crops and it kills animals and trees. And he does all this and say, what? Pharaoh, will you let them go? What does hail mean for us? Hail does this. Hail exposes. It destroys the outer part. So one thing that was interesting in this, you'll find as I look through biblical texts and find out that the time when the hail came down during the plague, it was harvest time. It was time for them to reap. So if you notice later on, we find what the Passover is right by that. When we find the Passover and all this stuff, during the time to reap. Because it's a celebration of all the things that have been harvested. Imagine, if you will, in America, Thanksgiving. Is that a good enough example for you? So it's that time where we all may come get thanks and whatever. So, you know, the crops are being harvested. And as the crops are being harvested, the hail actually, it destroys the crop, but the grain is still there. If you know anything about grain, let's talk about grain. Grain is what? Grain is encapsulated, is an encapsulated seed. So to get grain out, it must go to what we call a threshing floor. Mm-hmm. The threshing floor, you know, there's a couple of songs and there's been some texts written about the threshing floor. And what happens on the threshing floor, there's a big millstone that's there and they usually have like a yoked up oxen who's moving it and he's grinding on it. And as he moves this wheel around, what happens is that the grain is pushed out of the hucks. And that hooks and it shoots out, and as it shoots out, it falls down into this other little bar. If you think about like a cup or a saucer, if you will, and then they can go in there and they can collect the grain. It's harvested. What this hail did is hail destroyed the crops, but it left the grain. Again, what is God showing his mercy? So what he's giving them. So watch this. So hail makes you uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable, what does uncomfortability do? It exposes you. When I'm not comfortable, I'm exposed. Mm-hmm. It exposes you. Think about that for a moment. So hail. Hail makes you what? Uncomfortable. If it's hailing outside right now, I would be very uncomfortable. I got my nice car. I'd be like, Lord, what are you going to do? I'll be uncomfortable. You will be uncomfortable. Hail makes you uncomfortable. So as we find here, it exposes. So those who take your notes, hail exposes. All right, so now we move on to the locusts. So now what? Now Moses comes to him, said, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, okay, whatever. Because he's thinking, well, we got our grains. And now the Bible said what? They release locusts. Locusts. Locusts are more like grasshoppers. Mm-hmm. Wild locusts. So the locusts do what? If you know anything about a grasshopper, that thing would just eat everything. So the Bible said that these locusts were released. We're talking about, this is Exodus 10, 1 through 20. We're talking about that the locusts have been released and they go in there, what? And they go eat everything. So now they're starting to kind of get, uh-oh. Because the locust does what? It consumes. What it does is it eats all the leftover grain that was from the hailstorm. So the hailstorm, yes, God exposes them. He exposes them, but he doesn't kill them. He still gives them grace. Because what his goal is not to kill them. He just wants his people to be let go so that they can worship him freely. That's the whole goal. Remember, the goal is so what? That people can worship him freely. He doesn't want to kill anybody. He just wants his folk to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth and with their animals or however they want to need to be. Remember, that's always the goal to the thing. All right? So now the locusts go around. The locusts go around and they eat up everything. They just chop, 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 chop. So now they are what? In fear. Do we have enough food to survive? See, God, I get to the point that you'll get to a point that you'll be working those who... Let me go ahead and talk. Let me be pastor here for a minute. That God's got some of you, you're just working, you're working, you're working yourself to death. And it seems like you ain't got enough. Go back and check your first fruits. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you tithing properly? Oh, come on, I ain't gonna go there. Are you blessing God in offering? Are you doing the first thing? Are you being good by your resources? Because I'm here to tell you today, he talking about what? Though he'll give back those years that the locust and the cankerworm ate. That's what he said he would do. He said, I'll pour out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. Right? But that ain't going to happen if he's going to allow the locusts to keep devouring it. Why? So everything you get, go, go, go. You ever seen some people, like, no matter how much money they make, they ain't never got enough? Check your motives. Check what you're doing with it. Because we serve the God of what? More than enough. And therefore, what things come. Well, it seems like this one's always sick. This is always there. That's why. It's got a plan. God know how to give this stuff back. See, now we're going to give him what's his and let him bless the other 90, and then you do what you got to do. Trust me. I promise you, it's a much better life. All right, so the transformation, where the possibility of death now is actually upon them. We might can actually die. Why? Because our leader would not let these people go. And it's doing nothing but making them more upset. And now our grain is gone. Because these bugs, they came in here and ate it all up. Think about that for a moment. Your livelihood is at stake. Why? Because you can't keep nothing. Let me go on. All right, so then it goes on to the darkness. So the darkness occurs. What does the darkness do? The darkness, what? It's about control. You know the easiest way for me to control somebody? Let me put you in total darkness. Darkness in your mind. Darkness in your heart. Your understanding. They tell me when they go to put them in a solitary confinement, they throw them into what? A dark hole. They don't see any light sometimes. It's about control. When you want to control, you put it in the dark. If I need to have the advantage over you and we was in a fight, I want to turn the lights out. Why? Because you can't see me and I can't see you. So now I'm having to work off feel. Those advantages that you had, that maybe you, your physicality and all this stuff, you don't have anymore. Why? Because you can't see me. This is why, you know, we as believers, we don't ever walk in darkness. We walk what? In light. Why? Because we walk through the eyes of Jesus Christ. This is why we walk by faith. Are y'all with me this morning? This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if I look through these eyes, I'm going to see darkness. If I look through these eyes, I see a raging pandemic. If I look through these eyes, I see an economic downfall coming. If I look through these eyes, I see some stuff turning around. If I look through these eyes, I'm still seeing people dying in the streets. And I look through these eyes, I see a lot of health disparities. If I look through these eyes, I don't see nothing but I'm very pessimistic. But when I look through the eyes of faith, I get hope. When I look through the eyes of his justice, I know that justice is going to be served. When I look at him and a sense of optimism, I know that Jehovah Jireh is my provider. So I don't have to worry about tomorrow. That he's going to make it out, that what all things work together for them to believe according to his what? His purpose. And if I'm working in his purpose, that it's going to be okay too. Right? So this is why what? He put darkness over their eyes, but not ours. You don't walk by dark. Why? Because you are a bush that's being burned, but what? Not consumed. Therefore, you and I, we walk around the light. That light lives in us. And because they are in darkness, what does the moth do? It's always going to be summertime soon. When you turn on that porch light, here come the moths. They always are attracted to the light. So yes, it seems like you're dark out there, and it is. But you got to hold on to your light. And every now and then, you'll see another light go by. See, right here where I stay, when it gets dark, it's pretty dark. But if somebody's walking around in them bushes over there with a light on, I can see it. Why? Because it stands out in the darkness no matter what size the light. So, Kim, listen, stop telling yourself this lie that it's only me and I'm small. Yeah, this may be true. It may be only you and you small. But watch this. You got the light. And since you have the light, you're the only one that can see. So it don't matter how big the rest of the people are. It don't matter how strong they are. It don't matter how talented they are. They don't have the light. And you got the light. And if you got the light, you're the only one that can see the path. Because everybody else is working off field. See, if we're in a race and we're in the dark, I'm going to tell you who's going to win the race. The one who got the light. Why? Because they are not only going to be able to see, feel their way, they'll be able to see. And because we walk by faith and not by sight, we use God's sight as our sight. And he has sight beyond sight. For he is what the Bible says, watch this. He's the light of the world. And if he's the light of the world and he lives inside of us, where is the light? Can I make it any plainer? It's in you. It's in me. And this is why we can't be sinning and we can't find ourselves in all kinds of stuff. Why? Because it dims your light. See, watch this. I got all these lights here. But watch when my light dims. You don't see me as clearly. Now, we got a great camera, so this camera's adjusting to low light. But if you notice here, I might actually look better like this, right? But I got other lights here, too. But if I turn out all these lights, this picture will get darker and darker. And if you notice here, I got dark as I went. I have dark places here, okay? But as I turn on these lights, and I start to illuminate, and this camera's going to adjust, I'm a lot brighter. And therefore what? The brighter my light, the further away I can be seen. Woo, man. Y'all see this what happened when we get a praying church. God pull on me like this. You praying and I'm praying. Shh. Y'all, this prayer ain't going to be no joke. Meet us on Monday morning, Monday through Friday. We only pray for 30 minutes, y'all. 6 to 6:30. Anyway, but y'all see this, right? So y'all, you see how you help your pastor when you pray? Yeah. That light. So what God is doing, you have this light, and as you praise him and we bless him and we live right, our light gets bigger and bigger. And we pray in the spirit and it gets bolder and bolder. And to a point, the Bible said, what? You will be a light. It's like that light that's on a hill. That's what he says in Matthew. It's like that light that's on a hill that what? Cannot be hidden. You're not going to be hiding. That's why you're going to be the head and not the tail. That's why you're going to be above and not beneath. This is why you both winner and conqueror. Because as your light grows, it's nothing they can do, baby. They can't deny it. Think about it. People pay people for their skill, right? We talked about this before. Yes? If you're the best at what you do, and I need it, I'll pay whatever I got to pay to get it. If you had the power, and we do have the power through Christ, to walk around and just touch people and heal cancer, I promise you, you won't want for nothing. It'll be a line from here to New Mexico, a folk waiting in line. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want for anything. You wouldn't have to exercise, eat, no nothing. You just sit there and eat the turkey folk. And yet we have these powers. And what do we do? Sit on. Because we're looking at, well, I'm just this little bit of light. Well, that little bit of light in a dark world is hope. And if nobody else has any and you don't want got it, it attracts people to you. So don't be twisted. Don't get it twisted. People are not attracted because you're just so great and you're so cute and many of you all are beautiful and cute and all this stuff. But they really attract you because they see the light. That light of Christ that's in you. All right, so let me finish up with this last one. So what? The darkness is what preceded death. Mm-hmm. But darkness is about control. And he wants to control that light. So the last but not least, so now we find out after all of this, Pharaoh has gone through this and he would not quit. He would not quit. He would not quit. And they, you know, and he's like, okay, you're going to let him go. And he's like, nope. You're going to let him go. Nope. You know, and then they get to the point. Exodus 11, chapter 11, you can read verses 1 through 12 and then 36. And what we find here is the death of the firstborn. So now God is, you know, he's fed up. He didn't did everything he wanted to do. And now what? The final transformation is what? Judgment. He's done. Judgment. What is judgment? Judgment is death. What is death? Death means separation. So you think about it. When you go to a judge or a jury or whatever, I mean, you get a court, they say they give you a judgment. The judgment means what? It's final. It's done. This is what it's going to be. Now, notice he didn't want to take him through all these things. He don't want to take these things, you through all these things in your life. But if you find yourself at a point that you don't want to do God's will, he'll do what he got to do. Or he would, you would literally die trying. For those, let's go over it one more time. I'll give you these 10. If you hadn't wrote them down, this is your opportunity to write them down. Then I'm going to end because I've been gone a little longer than I wanted to go today. All right, so let me pull it back up. Let me see if I can get the original back up here for you. Amen. If this has been a blessing to you, say, Pastor, this was a blessing. If you learned some things doing this inside man here of Moses and how we transform government, This encouraged me a little bit and say this is a blessing. If not, then I know, okay, well, that didn't do nothing. We just go on and we keep trying. Amen. All right, I said this. All right, number one, blood. What does the blood represent? Grace. His grace towards us. A chance to get it right. All right, what does the frogs represent? Frogs represent peace. It's, you know, frogs represent peace. And this is what the influence, again, the transformation of peace. It's okay. Give you opportunity to get it together. All right, then we have the gnats. The gnats. The gnats represent what? The gnats represent transformation of what? Rebirth. Giving you a chance to get it again. Rebirth. All right, flies. The flies represent the transformation of motivation. Mm-hmm. A push until you achieve. It's a motivation. A push until you achieve. But that's wealth going on. And notice this. Then we have livestock, five-way tax of livestock, okay? The livestock is the transformation, what? Economic and social culture. It only, what? Affected the Egyptians. Remember, these things only affected the Egyptians now, okay? The boils, where we got to today, the boils, transformation, pandemic, skin infection, it attacks what? Your immunity is there to weaken you. God just wants his glory. Hail. Hail comes what? To damage. It exposes you. Mm-hmm. It exposes you. The locusts. The locusts come up to what? To eat up what you got. You think you got a little bit? You think you got good health? You think you got a little money in the bank? Get sick and find out how quick it goes away. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is, it's this saying that says you'll spend all your health trying to get your wealth, but then you'll spend all your wealth trying to keep your health. But how many of you know you're just grateful that God has kept you in perfect peace? I know I am. All right. So then what? Then number nine, darkness. Darkness what? Transformation of control. Be careful how you walk around in darkness. Because we are the light. We are that burning bush that's burning but not consumed. He said he will be the light of the world. We will be that light that's on a hill that cannot be hid. Then lastly, if we go through all of this, it's the judgment, baby. I mean, at some point, grace does run out. It's not infinite. I don't know how much I got. I don't know how much you got. It's not an infinite situation. But there's transformation in judgment that is final. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. I hope that this has been a tremendous blessing to you. You know, I love you all, and Lord knows I do. And my wife, you know, I had this conversation with her and some of my minister friends, and, you know, is that, you know, sometimes, especially in this space, you want things for people so bad, you want it worse than they want. And as I'm learning as a young pastor, I'm learning more and more every day that I cannot want it as bad as they want it. They have to want it for themselves. No matter how much I want, you know, things for my children and this, I can't go get a college degree for them. They have to get it for themselves. I can't go and do this for them. I can instill, you know, the teachings in them. I can instill the things of God. But at the end of the day, it's a decision they have to make. And we call that personal accountability. But this is God. You know, we're God's inside man. God has put us in the structures. They attack the structures because we understand the structures. But don't make no mistake about it. It's not you. It's him. And it's him that's living in us. So we are what? A agent, or be a double agent, if you will, that we inside, but we're working for somebody else. I hope this has been a tremendous blessing to you on this message. I ask that you all, hey, come check us out on Prayer in the Morning. Be there at 6 o'clock. Amen. We go from 6 to about 6:30. The link is on our webpage. That's www.safehousechurchgso.com. And just click on Live Bible Study. And we use the Bible Study link, the same link we use on Sunday mornings. Amen. Do please take note. Like I said, we've been getting censored for the music. So we still are doing it. We're just not doing it live on Facebook. Facebook is the only one that seems to give us a problem with that. YouTube and everybody else, you know, just like, oh, you ain't gonna monetize it. Well, we ain't worried about that. You know, as long as it's getting the word, it's getting out. But we're on the Zoom space. We have a paid space. We got plenty of room. Like I said, we can hold 500-600 people. If we get to that point, Pastor, hey, we'll go ahead and we'll buy some more room. Don't worry about it. All right, so if this has been a blessing to you all today, I ask that you all bless the Lord in tithes and offering. We are a tithe-believing church. You know, it's 10% of what God has given us on our gross. Amen. You know, God, you know, he set the mark, not I. Amen. And we believe that even, you know, I tithe too. You know, this is a church that tithe. Everything that comes into this church and is well documented goes right back into this church. So it's nothing that I take of my own, but this belongs to him. So make all checks or money orders payable to Fine Fish Ministries. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. And the zip code on that is 27358. Again, the zip code on that is 27358. So if you need to, you can take care of that. Amen. Then also, sorry about that on the other side here. I blanked them a little bit here. On the Cash App, we are able to, on the Cash App, so if you ever need on the Cash App, just go to Safe House Church, $ Safe House Church GSO. You'll see the little SH sign up there, Safe House Church GSO, or you can do PayPal. That's paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. I hope that you find this message to be a blessing. Anytime that you're in our vicinity, hey, don't give us an opportunity to look us up when we get back into the regular space. Amen. We're not there yet. We are debating some things and we're praying about it. But we want to use some wisdom. We don't want to put people at harm's way. But we know that sometimes we do need to touch and agree. Amen. There's some hands on, you know, some people I need to lay some hands on. There's some things we need to do. Some people we need to welcome into space. You know, God is just continually still growing us in the pandemic as a church. And he's growing us spiritually and he's preparing us for this harvest. I believe when we finally do get back, there's a harvest like none other. Y'all, I don't know where we're going to put all these people, but I do believe it is coming. It's coming, coming, because people are hungry and this church is hungry and you all are hungry and God has been transforming you and getting us ready for the increase. So if our hearts and minds are clear, on Wednesday night, we started our new Bible study. We finally finished the book of Ephesians. Had a great time in that space, took our time, but we're going to the book of Acts, y'all. Acts meaning that it's about to be on like popcorn, meaning that we get to see a lot of action. This is where the church itself is born. This is where the church itself is born. This is where we find the Acts of the Apostles. This is where we find the apostolic teachings and the apostolic doctrine. The root of all of this is there. Amen. Pentecostalism, you know, we have a lot of the different denominations which find their way out of here. We find death in here. We find casting out the devils in here. We find Paul being strong in here. We find the Holy Ghost making this appearance here. We find all kinds of stuff in the book of Acts. It's a decent book. It's going to be fairly long, so we may be in this for a while. So buckle up your seatbelts, get your pens and pads ready, and let's come in on Wednesday night at 7. You know, we come in, that's all we do. And we do exactly 4 hours, and we get off, so we don't belabor the point. Our heart minds are clear. God bless you all. I love you all. You all continue to pray for me as I pray for you. And if the Lord's will and it touches your heart, I see you in the morning at 6 a.m. God bless you all. Love you all. You have a great rest of the day. Take care of your families. Take care of yourselves and enjoy the space that we're in. But we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no